Come to the reading of God's Word in John and chapter 12. And so if you would turn there in your Bibles to John chapter 12. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 19. Remember what has just happened. He's raised up Lazarus from the dead. And it gives us a timing here in verse 1 that it happened 6 days before the Passover, which is 6 days that week before Christ, the week of Christ being crucified. And so in John chapter 12, we'll start in verse 1, we'll read through verse 19. These are God's words. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume and of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." A large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you're not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him." And those are the words of God. Jesus has healed a blind man. He's healed the dead man, raising him from the dead, that no one but the Messiah could have done according to the prophecies of the Old Testament. And yet, the Jews should have known that, and yet we see that the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests were seeking to kill Jesus. But contrary to how Christ was treated by those Jews, now we see in our passage generally those who honor Christ. And so we find that Jesus came to Bethany, it says chapter 12, verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, and he healed Lazarus. Then they go back he raised them from the dead. They go back, they're having supper at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' home, it seems. And they're having supper. Martha is serving the supper, and that's a great act of service, to be able to serve Christ. As if Christ should ever serve himself or others. He should not have to, but yet he did for our sakes. He's the King of Kings, after all. So Martha was serving him. Mary, though, was not in the way of serving food and things like that. Mary was serving in a different way, and that was not a problem either. She was doing something amazing. She was taking a very costly amount of perfume, a year's worth. You think of a year's worth of your income as a family and spending that on perfume. And then using that perfume on the feet of another person. Here, of course, generally we would never do that, but here that was a good thing. It was a wise thing, because here is Christ about to be crucified and buried. And so she anointed the feet of Christ with it. And this is contrasted, as we think of this is contrasted with Judas Iscariot, who would betray Christ, who it says was a thief. He was planning, even at this time, planning to deceive and give up Christ for money. But throughout their whole time of the 3 years of ministry, he had been holding the money box and he'd been taking money from it and stealing. He was a breaker of the eighth commandment. But as a child of God, Mary, the one who took the perfume, the costly perfume, was a keeper of the eighth commandment. She was using her property wisely, not taking the property of others. And consequently, as we think of this evening, we think of her hair after this, because she used her hair to wipe up his feet. Her hair, as she would go forth from here, would be smelling of this costly perfume. She would be smelling as someone like a royal princess and the bride of her husband, who was Christ. So kind of in that language of the Song of Solomon and us being covered with the good, costly perfumes, which by ourselves we stink like excrement, if we put it that way. Well, then, of course, the man Lazarus raised from the dead, that spread, the news spread about that, and the Jews heard where Christ was. They're also seemed seeking to put the chief priests and them were seeking to put Lazarus to death too. They're trying to put the evidence to death of what Christ had done. So they wanted to put Lazarus to death. See, they wanted to say, putting Lazarus to death, see, he never rose from the dead. That's what they wanted to do. But on the next day, it says, now 5 days from the Passover, there was a large crowd of the Jews, of course, coming to the Passover, to Jerusalem, from all over Israel, from wherever the Jews were. They'd come up to the Passover each year. And so, coming there, they had heard about what Jesus did, that he rose somebody from the dead. And so they were basically hearing about this, hearing that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they wanted to go meet him. And so they're traveling from Jerusalem then to out to Bethany, or wherever Jesus was from Bethany between Jerusalem, and it was not that far, because Bethany is not that far away. And on their way, Christ made his way to Jerusalem, of course, for the Passover. And he was making his way to be the Passover lamb, so that those who would believe in him would be saved from the judgment, like we saw in Exodus, of the blood of the lamb put on the doorposts. And they saw him coming, and they took the palm branches, and they were shouting in fulfillment of the prophecies in the Old Testament. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And he found a young donkey, he sat on it, Jesus did, and as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Notice that language that we'll hear in the Song of Songs, talking about the church, the bride, the saints. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. And this led to more people following Christ. And the Pharisees' anger grew. And that would even, of course, lead even more to the death of Christ on the cross. We should know from this passage that we are blessed in Christ, and that for him we ought to give all that we have for him and his kingdom. That's what Mary basically did and showed us. She gave all because she knew it was not hers to give. It was Christ's beginning. She received all these things because of the Lord and what he gave. And so we ought to give all that we are, all that we have to the kingdom and for the kingdom. And that we would no longer or be slaves, no longer to the world, but act like who we are, as we heard this morning, slaves of Christ, servants of Christ. And so we ought to seek him. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for Christ our King, his feet covered with the perfume to be that pleasing aroma in your nostrils as he died on the cross. We're thankful that Christ's death and burial and resurrection has amounted to sort of that picture of Mary's hair and what it smelled like, a sweet fragrance. That Christ, being in union with Christ, we too, like Mary, have a sweet fragrance in your nostrils, Father. And this, we thank you only because of what you have done in Christ and by your Holy Spirit. It's not by what we have done, because we know that our righteousness is like filthy rags, stinky, and like when their trash is left out in the hot sun, but far worse. But with you, Father, and what you have done, we smell like the best smell we could ever imagine, and far better. And so in these things, we thank you for what you have done for us in Christ your Son. Father, also thankful that you have given us of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would help us, Father, because we do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And yet, Father, it is so easy for us to do. And so, Father, we pray that you would move us by your Spirit to put to death our sin. And even when temptations come, that we would take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and that we would fight against it, even with the shield of faith that's based upon your Word and the breastplate of righteousness that you grant us by Christ. Father, help us. It is your armor that you give to us, the armor of God. And so, Father, we plead that you would purify us and cleanse us of all uncleanness and clothe us with the righteousness of your Son, that we would be pleasing, a pleasing aroma in your nostrils. Father, we ask that you would help us this Lord's Day, this next Lord's Day, to worship you, and even in this week to come, that we would be longing for Lord's Day to come to worship you with the body of Christ. Because we want to be otherworldly minded, that is, heavenly minded, not stuck in this world and in our thoughts and even in our intentions. And so, Father, even in our homemaking, in our work, all that we do, Father, we ask that you would have our eyes to be on Christ and on him alone, to be serving you in all things, like Martha and like Mary, that we would not be stealing from you like Judas Iscariot did in his planning and even in his actions, stealing your time, stealing the stuff, the property that you've given to us, stealing everything that you've given to us, all that we have, even our faith, even the Holy Spirit. We pray that we would not grieve him or steal faith by sinning against you and dishonoring your name. So, Father, we ask that you would help us. Again, as we pray this morning, you would forgive us of our sins. Here, breaking the eighth commandment, stealing from you and from others. Father, make us to be wise in all that we do with our property that you have given to us. It is your property. And Father, make us to use it for your kingdom, for the growth of your kingdom, and for your glory of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.